Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Susie Hedlund, Montana's state superintendent, with us here today. Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate that. First of all, it had to be kind of a heady experience when you were looking at, when you were in Washington, D.C., and a discussion came about this executive order and the dismantling of the Department of Education. What's your initial thoughts there?
Thank you for the opportunity. Yeah, I was very interested in finding out more and making sure that we had the facts and the actual information. There's been a lot of fear and misunderstanding. And, you know, I have in writing letters from the new leadership at the Department of Education, and we get the dear colleague letters, what we call them regularly, explaining that, you know, there is no plan for a reduction in funds, that they will not negatively impact special education, IDEA, Title I, school nutrition programs, all of that information. So I just wanted to make sure I had the details and was able to share that information with our schools and our families of Montana. I was reaching out to contacts I have in the White House administration so that I could get the facts and further information, as well as provide input and let them know about programs that are critical to Montana. I kept calling, and I kept getting, you know, transferred over to different staff within the White House, and that's how I got the invitation to Washington, D.C. They said, you know, we think that the president and his staff and the new leadership would like to hear from you, and how soon can you be here? And that's what's always funny, you know, people understanding what it's like to travel from Montana and how many flights we have out a day, right? So I got on one of the last flights after I testified at the legislature that day, and was able to make it there and have some time to visit with them and also talk to CCSSO, which is the bipartisan nonpartisan organization that we participate in as state chiefs. So with my colleagues from around the nation. So I had opportunity to meet with them and talk to them about this, as well as, you know, really be there on the front lines. And the whole goal is to make sure that Montana has a voice and a seat at the table. I would rather be involved and be proactive than sit back and worry and complain about what happens to us. You know, if we can have a say, not saying that they're going to take our input, but I'm going to do my best.
And I appreciate that as well. What is that input? I mean, what do you think, you know, the top three things that you really wanted to impart upon President Trump and his officials looking at this policy change?
The major programs that impact our students in Montana, and ones that I'm hearing from the schools, as well as that are going to be critical to the work that I'm excited about. So Title I is one of our largest funding streams to our schools, federal funding streams. Special education, obviously very important. And, you know, these are things that are also written into law and would take, you know, Congress to overturn. So we have to keep those things in mind also. These are changes that won't happen overnight. Even though there are changes already occurring, we have had new points of contact for some of these programs as they have reduced the number of staff at the Department of Education and the number of folks in leadership. And within 2 hours, we've gotten the names of the new folks and they've reached out to me. So they have been very responsive. We have not had any issues or lapse in service of information we need from the Department of Education. So I have been talking to them about Title I, special education, impact aid. I've been talking to the USDA about our school nutrition programs. And I have received no indication of a reduction in funds in those critical programs. We actually, you know, I've seen in the newspapers school administrators worried about impact aid, especially those on the reservations and in areas that receive those fundings. And that's actually some of the most secure funding that there is, because it is connected to the military as well. So we have received no indication of reduction in funding. The hope is that by removing this layer of bureaucracy at the federal level, there will be more funds transferred to the state. So in general, you know, that is something I can get behind and I'm supportive of. We want to get more funds directly to the classroom. And one of the most exciting things was the letter that came out saying they want to get education back to the basics, because I don't know if you remember hearing me say that, but that was, you know, my whole platform was let teachers get back to teaching reading, writing, and math, and make sure that our schools have the money to do so.
Yeah, and I was going to bring that up too, because that's a big push, I think, for folks in the education field is to get back to, you know, like you said, the basics in a lot of ways. It seems like we're running a lot of our social issues, civic issues or difficulties right through our school system without a lot of pre-thought, without any post-thought into it. It just seems like, you know, because we are social creatures, that everything we need to do feels, or some people feel like it has to run through the public education system. And I'm not sure that's the case. I think it's a bad place to test out some of these social theories. That's just one of my takes on this as well. Susie Hedlund again is with us. She is the state superintendent, Montana's Office of Public Instruction, just recently elected there as well. Grew up in Montana, was a teacher in Montana for a lot of years. I think you served as a vice president of the State Board of Public Education, Montana State University grad as well. So thanks for all that service. When you talk about, let's get into that. Back to the basics. How do we educate our kids in the basics, but also still have them come out of the education system with some of those other values that we may approve or adopt as Americans as a whole?
Thank you. I agree with what you said. I believe that our students need to learn how to think, not what to think. You know, critical thinking. They need to be competitive as they enter the workforce or college in reading, writing, and math, those foundational skills early on. And then as we get into high school, I'm very passionate about making sure they have more opportunities. So I have been making sure with our federal funding on Carl Perkins that they know how important that is to us, so that we can continue our career and technical education expansion in Montana. Our goal, you know, and this legislature, we've had a lot of movement on it as well, is to make sure that our students are prepared and ready, whether they're entering a trade, make sure that they have opportunities for pre-apprenticeships as well as dual credits in high school. So I think just making sure that they have all of those opportunities to be ready and we can increase our student outcomes. Involving parents in the conversation is important as well. I truly believe that parents and teachers working together is the key to success. And we need to make sure parents know about all of these opportunities that their students have that have come through legislation in the state of Montana in the recent years, and that we also are receiving federal funding for. And that's what one of the things I'm making sure we're talking to them about in DC as these changes take place. So I think involving parents in those conversations and making sure that we leave the social issues to the families to discuss at home is important to me.
Yeah, and I appreciate that too. I think that's where it belongs, and it's gotten out of there. I think the government has assumed a lot of control and authority over our child rearing in this country. But we go back to when, you know, some of us older folk were in school, and we needed to learn how to line up. You know, we needed to learn not to push at the drinking fountain. Those were some values that were, you know, imparted to us for, I guess, to maybe avoid the chaos that can happen. But nowadays, what's being pushed on our kids is a far cry from things like that. You know, the education, you know, sex education at the elementary age, you know, first, second, third grade. How do you feel about those? I mean, and what's the challenge or opportunity with those kinds of things?
Yeah, you know, it is really interesting how it varies across the state. As I traveled across the state campaigning, I got to visit with people about their concerns. And, you know, it's different. We have a large state with a lot going on in different areas. But there are parents that are very concerned. And I think the more transparent we can be about what we're teaching in school, the better.
Yeah.
And it also helps build those relationships. So the legislation that was passed last session that, you know, parents have to have the opportunity and a 48-hour notice before that kind of education takes place. I know that sometimes teachers feel like it could be cumbersome or take away from their autonomy. But as a school superintendent, I always talk to my staff about it being an opportunity to tell the parents about what you're working on in class and to have them sign off on that form. If there's a new, you know, current novel in high school that may have anything that might be a touchy subject for any family, just send the letter home and let the parents decide. And it also opens that family up for that engaging conversation. If you're going to do a, you know, assembly or a presentation on cybersecurity or safety for children that might have some of those touchy issues that we face these days, you know, we would do a family viewing night the night before so that parents would have an opportunity to see the material and see if they felt comfortable with their students participating in it. I think all of those opportunities just give families a chance to be engaged as well as feel like they can trust the school. We really need to make sure we have that trust between parents and the school. And I think our teachers are doing a fabulous job in Montana. And, you know, they want, you know, for the most part, to be doing the right thing and be respectful of family values. So I don't see anything wrong with having the parents opt in and be aware of what is being taught in the classroom. I think parents have the right to know what their students are learning.
Absolutely. And then, you know, and that's the mandates that come from a bureaucracy as big as the Department of Education. I mean, I go back and look at the budget that it's had over the last 20 years, and it's all over the place. 2004, it was $62 billion. 2021, $260 billion. And then, you know, a lot of that has to do with COVID, too, for 2022. The Education Department budget was $639 billion. I mean, that's 10 times what it was in 2004. We'll talk about that, but I want to talk about what is the nitty-gritty on pulling back on this federal control, the funding aspect of it as well, and how we get that established well in Montana. 401 school districts, some 820-plus public schools across the state of Montana, 148,000-plus of your sons and daughters and nephews and grandkids enrolled in Montana's public school system there as well. We're spending roughly about $13,000 per year for each of our kids as well. Those are some of the stats. The graduation rate in Montana for 4 years in high school, about 85%. Susie Hedlund is with us. She's Montana's superintendent of public instruction. Probably knows those statistics like the back of your hand, Susie. I mean, all those years in education, you know what an impact education has on our kids. So thank you for serving in this arena as well. I want to just go into this as they look to pull back from the federal control and dismantle the Department of Education. Are the states ready? Are the states ready to jump in? What's that going to look like? Funding, mandates? How do you straighten all that out?
Thank you. Yes, we are ready. We stand ready to take this on at the state level. And that is why I have been so active in reaching out and participating in these conversations to make sure we have a say at the table, like I said earlier, to make sure that we are truly ready and know what that's going to look like and that it heads in a direction that we can get behind and that will work for Montana. All states' education offices run differently. Some are appointed by the governor, the state leader of education, and some are appointed by a board. Some are independently elected, like myself.
Hello.
So we want to make sure that they have that understanding as well and that that funding truly is transferred to
Cody?
The state education office. So that's something that we're working on, as well as what that means and how that's going to be transferred. We do have staff in each federal program area that stand ready to, you know, take this on with the new guidance and make sure that we get the most funding distributed to the schools as possible. Like I said earlier, we've seen no indication of a reduction in fund. We have had no staff impacted in a negative way at the Office of Public Instruction. And one of the things that I am keeping a real close eye on and making sure we are, you know, very loud about is that we want to ensure that this, they straight, that, you know, that the administration stays true to their promise of pulling back on the federal overreach and reduction of the red tape. So this is a great opportunity in my eyes to make sure that schools are no longer filling out burdensome reports to both the Office of Public Instruction in Montana as well as the Department of Education in D.C. As a school administrator and, you know, principal and superintendent, federal programs director in Livingston School District, those things, I have spent way too much time filling out these burdensome reports that, you know, I could have been spending and that we want our administrators across the state to be spending on being instructional leaders, working with teachers and children, meeting with families, meeting with community members. So it is time to make sure we have a reduction in this overreach and burdensome reporting requirements at the state level as well as the federal level.
How do we then, how do we track without those requirements? I presume that they were there to help us hold our education system accountable. How do we do that now?
I think accountability is critical, but right now it is duplicative, it is burdensome, and a lot of the reports don't even apply to our rural western state of Montana. So it is just super frustrating, and I know, you know, don't want to go too far into the weeds with the general public on this, but I know firsthand, and I know my colleagues do, exactly where we can shore this up as, you know, as I've been a teacher, principal, and superintendent, as well as worked at the state office and on the Board of Public Education. I know exactly what, you know, is necessary to make sure we have a good amount of accountability, but we don't want to be compliance-based. We want to be supportive in ensuring schools have what the resources they need and that they're heading in the right direction. And teachers and school leaders know best what their students need, what they need to improve on, and how to do so. We need to give them the opportunity to do what they need to do and the resources to do it without having bureaucrats from D.C., you know, trying to tell us what we need to do for our students in Montana.
Susie Hedlund again with us here on Voices of Montana. I appreciate that, too. I look at some of these programs. We talk about the mandates. There's a lot of mandates there. Some were good. The race to the top. Others are not so good because I think they're you know, DEI kind of oriented in some ways, too. What's going to be the challenge? I mean, how do you transfer, you know, that amount of funding? Because the Department of Education has been known to hand out grants in the billions of dollars, which can be difficult. But what do you think will be some of those challenges in maintaining this continuity, Susie?
I think it'll be challenging to understand, just like you said, how the funding is going to flow exactly, and that's something that we're really digging into. We have been told that a lot of these critical programs will stay in formula funding, but the word block grant has been thrown around a few times as well, which has, some people on edge because it means something different. And so I just want to make sure that we use these words carefully and accurately. And so that's something that I'm focusing on, you know, getting the clear information on. That's why I'm doing the reach outs and, you know, traveling to D.C. to get the news and to get the information right up front and to get the details and try to have a voice on that. So, you know, I find it challenging. I know that people see it as a negative thing, some folks, that I am making those trips and having those conversations. But at the same time, if we don't have a voice at the table, then we're just, you know, going to have to sit back and see what happens. And I'm not that kind of a leader. I'm not going to allow for that. So I have been making sure that we have an opportunity to send our input in. Like I said, it might not all work out the way that we hope, or they might not take all of our input, but we're sure going to take advantage of the opportunity with the connections we have. I, you know, support the idea of making sure that we get this money back to Montana. Right now, you know, this isn't exact, but somewhere around 47 cents on the dollar makes its way to Montana. And our schools deserve better than that and more than that. And so the hope is that we will get the funds directly here to the state of Montana, and we get more money directly to the classrooms to get education back to the basics, so teachers can focus on teaching reading, writing, and math, and we can increase those teacher salaries. You know, even Linda McMahon talked about things like making sure we had more para educators in the classroom when I was with her, and they can support our students in tutoring and interventions and classroom management, all of those things that we need. So it was great to hear them talk about those key points that I think will resonate with our educators in Montana.
I got about a minute on this one, and I just want to get your take on the impression that this is having. You know, I know a lot of school educators. I feel like they would adopt this, like maybe that direction of more local control, are nervous about it. And I know you kind of hit on that a little bit, but you know, I don't suppose the unions are all that much in favor of it in that regard. But what's your take on how people are embracing this or not embracing it?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think there's a lot of concern anytime there's change and people get nervous. So my goal is just to try to get the right messaging out there, that this is not an attack on public education. The goal is to get more funding to the schools, directly to those that work closest with the students, so that we can improve as a nation, so that we can increase our student outcomes. And that's definitely something we need to do in Montana.
Susie Hedlund, who's our state superintendent, Office of Public Instruction, joins us here today. How about that news, Susie? Have you met Dr. Tessman yet?
No, I haven't, but I did get to participate in some of the work as I sit as a, you know, a participant with the Board of Regents, mm-hmm. and we have joint meetings, so that's very exciting, and I want to say congratulations as well. I know they went through a very thorough search process and had incredible applicants, so congratulations. And that's something I'm really excited about, is collaborating with all of our partners and really building strong relationships so that we can get a lot more done. I'm, you know, working hard to rebuild some of those relationships. I have known folks in these arenas for many years and been working with them in education. And now at this level, you know, we can collaborate to have great accomplishment. I've been meeting weekly with the Commissioner's Office of Higher Ed, and we have a lot of ideas about how we can utilize student data to further support our students and our teachers. One of the things we have planned is for me to have an opportunity to meet with the faculty of the education preparation programs and really talk about what it's critical for teachers to know right now as they enter the field, how we can put more in place for classroom management and some of those things we're hearing is challenging to teachers at this point in time. So that hasn't been done before, or not in a long time anyways. So with our partnership and our relationship with the Commissioner of Higher Ed and K-12 at this point in time, you know, we're excited to work together on preparing our teachers. We're going to start working on a P20 newsletter and a lot of different components that we're looking forward to. I'm also trying to do that same work in building those relationships with my colleagues and the other organizations. So we've been attending the principals meetings and conferences, the school superintendents meetings. which OPI hasn't been a part of in a long time. And that really left a void. And it created inconsistent messaging and confusion for the field. So we're working hard to ensure we are working together and have cohesive messaging going out to our educators and school leaders and, you know, working together on professional development and all those important things.
What did you like about, if there is something, the Department of Education at the federal level that you'd like to see maintained at that state level once it goes away?
I think the support and the opportunity for funding particular programs that, you know, give our teachers that professional development, as well as the opportunity for our schools to improve or expand in areas that are really important to them. The after-school program with 21st Century and, you know, some of those important things are things that we're keeping a close eye on, and I want to make sure continue career and technical education opportunities. You know, are very important to us. Our state is supporting them. We want to make sure that funding continues from the federal level. And so those are things that I'm taking a look at.
What a couple of things. I mean, school choice and charter schools have come onto the scene in Montana with that last legislative session. I know you have talked about support for those, but there's still, I think, some guidance that's kind of necessary to get those into a good place. What do you like about that program?
So my, you know, top priority as the superintendent of public instruction is to make sure that we have the strongest, most robust public school system we can in Montana. And so I, you know, make sure that I maintain that focus. But I also know that our students are unique and have different strengths as well as challenges around the state, and that parents need to have options for all of their children. And sometimes that looks different. You know, I've had children at my school or families at my school where one child attended public school and one was homeschooled, or one went to private school, just depending on their needs. And I believe that parents should be supported in making those decisions. I think rebuilding that trust and that relationship between families and public schools is really important, and that's a goal of mine, but also realize that sometimes there are, you know, unique circumstances or different family values that make them want to seek out a different option. And I believe parents should have the ability to do so. Montana is one of the states that, you know, doesn't have as much choice in place right now. It's held up in court. And so we'll see how that turns out. But the public charter schools have been a good opportunity for innovation and for parents to have more choice in choosing, you know, a more specialized education program for their children. So it was great to be a part of that work on the Board of Public Education. And I've visited many of those public charter schools, and they're doing phenomenal work. So that has been very exciting.
You've spent a lot of time as a public educator. I know you were also, I think, the superintendent at Townsend Public Schools, as well as a teacher, and now head of Montana's Education Department. So I don't know if you've seen anything like this pandemic, or as we went through the actions and our response to it through COVID. What would you say happened to education during this time, and maybe what needs to be right sized to get it back on track if it's off track?
So, yeah, it was definitely a challenging time in education, as it was for everyone. I was a teacher in Helena. I was, you know, I've been a principal and a superintendent in our smallest districts to our largest across the state. And that's one of the things I'm excited to bring to the table, is that practitioner's view from rural to large school districts. And it was interesting to see how everyone handled it differently. I know that a lot of our students had some challenges with anxiety and all of that with the transition of coming back to school in person, especially the longer that they were out, depending on where they were located. So that was definitely different throughout the state, as we are a local control school, local control state. Our schools all handled it differently. But one of the negative impacts was that COVID funding, you know, if it was used for teacher salaries or critical programs, we knew that funding was going to come to an end. So that was challenging, and that's where we, you know, saw our schools kind of have a fiscal cliff. But I'm very thankful to our governor and our legislature for taking, you know, education as a priority this session. And there's some bills that will really bring some critical funding to our schools if they make it all the way through, and they're looking good right now. So that's exciting. I think that it's hard to come back from that, you know, as those COVID funds come to an end and figure out how to move forward. You know, hopefully a lot of our schools used that funding, as I did as a school leader, to build up the infrastructure of the building, to purchase those, you know, great curriculum materials and technology components that will last them over the next decade and are in a good spot. But I know some have had some challenges as that funding came to an end. So that was one of the major impacts. And then also just, you know, we've kind of seen some mental health and anxiety issues in education as we have in other areas across the state.
What do you hear when you're out, you're talking with people, and everybody, I think, in Montana feels like, oh, there's our superintendent of public instruction. I'm going to go up and chat with her, you know, or whoever. There's lots of good access, in my mind, to our public officials. What's your takeaway from what they're telling you?
It's been exciting. It's really great to hear from everyone. And I have, you know, really made it a goal to make sure that we are available. One of my top priorities is to make sure that the Office of Public Instruction is more responsive. A lot of the workers were remote during, you know, went remote and then didn't return to the office. And so I have a goal of making sure we have someone in person if people come by that can visit on, you know, an expert in any subject area, as well as be responsive quickly to any phone calls or emails. So I'm trying to increase the customer service and the responsiveness to the field from the Office of Public Instruction. I have been asking, you know, my colleagues and attending those meetings so I can hear from them, so I can see what they think would be helpful, how we can be more helpful, what their concerns are so I can address them. All of that work is very critical to me. So that's been exciting to, you know, and I have a pretty good pulse on it because I'm coming right from the field. So that's been really exciting. And we have, like I said, been attending a lot of meetings and taking in that input. Last week, I got to attend the MCEC, the special ed conference, and talk to paraeducators, school psychologists, special ed teachers from across the state. I got to hand out the awards for the paraeducators and teacher teams of the year. I know earlier you mentioned to me that you noticed that the Teacher of the Year applications are coming open.
Yes.
And so we're excited about that. The applications open in April and nominations are due in May. It's a very thorough process and a very incredible opportunity to recognize the great work. That is something we need to do more of, you know, just recognize and honor the great work of our educators. We need to elevate the profession, and so that's a nice way to do that. And I also got to participate in the Rural Teacher of the Year receiving her award, and that was an incredible experience. So we're excited about the Teacher of the Year applications opening and want to make sure everyone is aware of that.
Yes, do that, you guys. It's April 8th is when it. So that's just tomorrow, as a matter of fact. So nominations will begin on this, and then they're due by May 10th. Go to the Office of Public Instruction to find out more information on that. Actually, you can. It's that's MTTOY, which stands for Teacher of the Year. Let me ask you this: we're running out of time here, too. And thank you so much for your time, and also again your focus on this public service. What does it take to be a more than just a good teacher? What does it take to be an effective teacher in today's world?
That is a great question. I think that it takes someone, you know, to truly understand and build relationships with their students so that they can address each of their needs. It takes someone dynamic to engage the students. and to make the, you know, the curriculum relevant to them and to modify it to each of their needs, it's a heavy lift. And I have so much respect for our teachers and for the work that they do every day to connect with each of their students, to have the conversations with the families, because families and teachers working together is critical to success. So there's a lot that goes into that. And, you know, I support our teachers and just want to make sure they know that. I'm happy to have teachers and experts here in the office with me that I work with every day. And this week I get to go out and meet with our principals and superintendents and teachers in the western part of the state. We're also going to stop and recognize some Purple Star schools that are being recognized Purple Stars for support of military families, and going to work with our congressional delegation later this month to honor some students that are entering the military and, you know, under very honorable circumstances.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. What's that real quick?
I'm excited about that. So we have a exciting tour coming up where I'm going to partner with one of our congressional delegates to recognize students that are entering our academies. We have, you know, seats that are left open in Montana, and these are incredible opportunities, so we just want to make sure students know.
Susie, great stuff today. I appreciate it. I appreciate, again, like the public service, and looking forward to chatting with you down the road. This door is always open for you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I had a great time.
Me too. Superintendent of Public Instruction, Susie Headland.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.